You're listening to the Groupie Guide Lunch with your hosts, Paul Goody and Chris Harris, on guide.groupie.com. That's guide.groupie.com.
Nate is asking me if the only way one can pass a virus is through an attachment. And I would suggest that no one ever listen to anything I say about this sort of thing. You should go to...
I would concur with that, but go ahead.
en.wikipedia.org/wiki/computer_virus to learn everything you might want to know about computer viruses. As you know, between Google and Wiki, the entire universe is contained.
The entire universe contributed by people in the real world who I wouldn't necessarily count as trustworthy all the time. So in other words, you're not looking at the Encyclopedia Britannica, which of course is the fount of all knowledge.
Although I believe that you can get a computer virus by reading the Encyclopedia Britannica. Especially if you read it out loud in a fake British accent.
Which would explain the strange death of my uncle, George, who used to sell Britannicas. Not really, I'm joking. I don't even have an uncle named George. Never did.
Well, yeah, because he died from reading the Encyclopedia Britannica.
So yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on context and what she's asking, because you can get a virus by going to web pages that have little pop-up things that give you viruses. You can get them by opening attachments and emails.
Hey, my wife's calling on my cell phone.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. You're on the radio, but not really, because no one can hear what you're saying.
It's the computer radio.
It's the computer radio. It's not the real radio. It's the internet. Ooh, that's a good sign, maybe. Has it? Her medication's gone generic. $9.50. That's great. I think you have enough. It used to be $100 a month, now it's $9.50 a month.
Holy cow, that's a good savings.
That's awesome. And that's Zoloft? Okay. Awesome. Sertraline. Awesome. Well, that's great. Oh, 2 months' worth. That's even better. And since I've quit taking my medication, so far I feel fine. I don't know if anybody else has been happy to have me around or not, but it seems to be pretty normal. So our medication budget is low enough to maybe cover the spike in health cost stuff. Okay. Right, okay. Okay. Yeah, we should totally take a look at that. Okay, baby. So, yeah, I'll talk to you later. I love you. Yep. Bye. So that was the exciting me talking to my wife on the phone segment.
Which is wonderful to have on the radio.
And also, you may not have been able to hear this, but Chris was clicking around on Groupie, just taking a look at what was new and what was going on there.
Before we go into this, though, I want to talk a little bit about yesterday's lunch with the Groupie Guides.
Please do.
Because I wasn't here for it. I was actually in a car, my car, driving from Springfield, Oregon.
It's good that you pointed out that it was your car, because otherwise I was going to call the authorities.
I occasionally drive in other people's cars.
You shout, "I need this," and then...
I pretend like I'm important, and I take over the car as if I'm a policeman. But yeah, I wish I would have been here for the inaugural lunch, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, I think there was really a sense of, boy, this isn't as good as it would have been if Chris were here.
Well, the future you added a lot to the present you, because...
Yeah, I noticed that the future me was really hostile to the present me.
He wasn't a big fan. I'm thinking he wasn't a big fan.
Now you know kind of how my brain works, like, all the time.
Yes. So I went to Springfield to visit my family for over the weekend, and we went to the Portland Zoo on Saturday. And so I was kind of concerned because the weather was looking a little bit iffy.
Yeah.
But on the news it said it was going to start raining around noon.
Okay.
And we were going to meet there before noon, so we'd have plenty of time to do the zoo and everything. Instead, it started raining at about 8 a.m.
Oh, which is just before you guys met at the zoo, obviously.
Yes, yes, yes. So it was a very, very wet day at the zoo, and all the animals were hiding underneath their awnings and in their cages. So it wasn't as exciting as it could have been, but it was still a nice 3-hour walk in the rain.
If you go to sgnp.groupie.com,
yes,
you can see some video log postings that I made from the zoo.
From you need to.
Oh right, the Seattle.
From the Seattle Zoo, not the
Woodland Park Zoo.
Yes.
And one of the things that I noticed was that the orangutans at the zoo are orangutan. I don't know. I like to say orangutan.
I think tang is better because it gives it a space connotation.
Exactly.
And monkeys in space together is a great thing.
It's well, except for the monkeys, it's actually kind of.
Oh no, I think monkeys need to be involved in space whenever you talk about space.
Star Trek?
Oh,
wow.
Star Trek, it needed space.
Nope, Pettinger is still... now, I was actually going to be...
He's holding the top six.
I made a mention slots. About this earlier. You are the designated groupie porn cop.
Yes, but it's not as rigid as you make it sound. I mean, porn cop sounds like I'm walking around with monocle looking at every picture and making sure it isn't...
I'm just wondering now let's just if we can, I don't want to derail this like entirely, but the third post, if we could just take a look, here's what I believe is happening. I'll just describe to you what I'm guessing is going on here. There's a young man who has wandered into the break room of the cleaning staff of some large office building, and they my guess is that they have mistaken him for some sort of furniture that they're going to reupholster or something, and they're taking measurements to see how much carpet they're going to need to cover this odd, vaguely man-shaped statue that's there.
Right, or it could be an impromptu Speedo fitting.
Yes, oh, that's a very good point, that maybe...
So, this is my impression. My impression is that Pettiger is most likely a male model of swimsuits or something to that effect. And I think this is just an outtake type photo of one of his photo shoots, possibly.
Oh, yes. And the thing that we should point out, if you're just listening to this, he is actually posting a lot with kanji.
He uses like. Kanji characters, which are, you know... So if you're looking with a U.S. PC,
so
most likely you're
really
going to see question marks.
Right. For sure.
So at this point, we're just guessing about it.
Although it does look like the woman, the other woman in the picture who's not taking the measurements, is doing her taxes or perhaps some homework.
I think math homework. I'm going to go for calculus.
Yeah.
She's got a little blue highlighter there so she can highlight her answers.
Gotcha. And that's number three.
Yeah. That is number three. So, just to touch a little bit on the policy as the porn cop, as you've dubbed me.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, if there isn't nudity in the picture, we're not going to delete it.
Gotcha.
That's the bottom line. And there's no nudity, per se, in any of his photos. They're just male models modeling.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Which is fine.
Yep.
It was the measuring that really, I think, really what it did was it highlighted something in my own brain rather than anything that he was doing.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it.
Because you've always been an aspiring upholstery person.
I've wanted to. I remember distinctly, I was 16 years old. My mom sent our couch out to be reupholstered. And I said, why not let me try it? And she never did. And I still have some hang-ups about that.
You know, I actually reupholstered a couch.
Get out.
Okay, so when I was in high school, my best friend gave me... Or no, he...
Cheetos, by the way. I'm eating Cheetos right now.
Yes. Yes. my best friend, actually, no, it wasn't high school, but anyway, I had this old Davenport couch, which, if you don't know what a Davenport is, it's like a regular couch that folds down to be a bed. It's not like a hide-a-bed where the mattress is underneath the cushions. It actually folds down so that the seat part is the left side of the bed, and the back part is the right side of the bed.
Sort of like a futon?
Yeah, pretty much like a futon.
But
it's an actual hefty couch.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing weighed tons. It was a pain to move. So it was, it had some, it needed to be upholstered, reupholstered. And I didn't want to, I was broke at the time, and I think this is when I first moved to Seattle. So I literally bought some old, or I bought some what's the word for
fabric?
Extra, yes, fabric is what it is, but it's extra fabric.
Cast off? Or
No, not cast off. Like, you go to these stores, and
surplus.
They have, like, surplus, that's a good word. So I bought the surplus fabric, and I bought a staple gun, and I did a staple job on it. And
nice.
It looked, you couldn't see any staples. It looked really nice.
Now, where is that Davenport today?
When I last moved, I tore the Davenport apart with an axe.
Wow.
Because I'd had it for so long, and I'd moved it so many times, there was a lot of anger and aggression associated with it.
Gotcha.
And plus, I actually slept on the thing for several years before I had a real bed. And it's not the most comfortable thing.
Right.
Especially considering that it was made in the 30s and it was still around in 2002.
2002, wow.
Which is when I destroyed it. So yeah, it's in bits and pieces in a landfill somewhere.
Now, do you still have the axe?
No, that was borrowed.
Yes, I understand that. I have neighbors who want to borrow things.
Yes.
And by borrow, I think it's another way of saying have until you ask it. Or ask me for it back.
It's a long-term borrow.
So, I would say that Pettier maybe is almost a backdrop against which the other more popular things are, because...
Yeah, I think he's getting higher popularity ranks primarily because people want to know, what are all these question marks? What do they mean?
Yes.
They don't even... aren't necessarily
so,
all that
still
interesting.
England versus the United States of America,
yes.
Highest.
And then we have Ted O'Neill's post about elk in the front yard, which is a great post. You should take a look at it because it's got some pictures of elk that wandered into his yard.
Now, Ted lives in, we can't necessarily say exactly where he lives, but he lives in...
Washington. Washington State, that's it.
Washington State, in the outskirts of...
Yes, he doesn't live in the city, let's put
right,
it that
exactly.
way.
Right, exactly. And so, elk, not so surprising, necessarily.
But in your backyard?
Still wonderful. Oh. And the other thing is, I don't know who took the bait, if it was Ted or if it was... It must have been Ted.
I would assume
so. It could
have
been Roseberry, I guess.
Either.
But the pictures, that's the other thing, so the pictures are really nice.
Yes.
And rendered wonderfully, might I add, in the groupie photo album.
Yes.
It's like you're watching a little story. Oh, where's the elk going? Not sure. Looks like it's headed for a tree. Oh, now the elk is saying to the tree, yo, back off, man. I'm an elk, you don't know. And then by a little lamppost, perhaps they're in Narnia. Who knows? It's a wonderfully majestic creature in a somewhat woodland setting. So, maybe you want to copy a picture and put it on your desktop? Who knows?
You could. This is kind of a tangent going back to what I was talking about earlier for
yes.
some reason. One of the things that kind of got my goat, so to speak, when I was at the Portland Zoo, as opposed to getting my elk. But anyway, they had an exhibit called the Elk Meadow.
Oh.
So we thought, you know, let's go take a look at the Elk Meadow. So we go down to the Elk Meadow, and there are four elk. Four. In a grassy field that's probably the size of half of a football field.
Now, if you had four giraffes, for instance, that would be a sizable number of giraffes.
You might say,
wow, look at all the giraffes.
Right. But generally, elk are herds of, you know, 15 or 20 or so.
And here we see at least...
I think there's four here.
At least four there.
Yes, in Ted's
photos.
But
that's right out in the middle of
right.
somebody's house.
But my point, or my point mostly was the fact that they called it an elk meadow when it was really just a plot of grass that was, you know, the size of half a football field.
That's one of the things I like about the Woodland Parks is that they have good enclosures for the animals.
I wasn't impressed with Portland's.
what I've seen. I've never been to the Portland Zoo, so I can't compare them.
Yeah, and it might have just
actually,
been...
Actually, I can. Yeah, Portland's suck compared to the That was That's pretty easy.
Okay.
Let's see, Meeting with Judd.
Meeting with Judd is next, yeah.
Now, one of the things that I wasn't sure about yesterday is how many of these can other people see? All of them, right? Are these all public, pretty much? It's going to depend, right? We might be able to see some that other people can't.
Yes.
But we know that Pettingers are public.
Yes.
Because neither you or I have added Pettingers to our archive.
Right. Okay, so yeah, your most popular list and the new post list and the random post list is custom tailored depending on the permissions that the person set when they posted the post.
So what may happen is that we might call out a post or whatever that you won't necessarily be able to see.
Right, and this is an example right here, the Meeting with Judd one. I look at underneath the post, it says broadcast to, and it says Ted O'Neill, parentheses, entourage only. So that means only entourage members of Ted can see this specific post.
And, you know, you could always ask Ted to become a member of your entourage, and he maybe then add you to his entourage, and it'd be great, and then you could see it too.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
He's so, Ted. That's how you would find him.
Yes. So the gist of it is, we might mention something that you don't see.
And you might see something that we can't see.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case.
Yes. So, one of the good things also is that if you ever want to know where something is broadcast to, if you take a look at a post, like, for instance, we're going to one that's a police concert, and right above Watch This GCast, you'll see broadcast to, in this case, Lori has broadcasted this to her channel. It's lori.gerby.com. And the broadcast to says, broadcast to Lori, and then in parentheses, anyone on the internet.
Right. So that means that anyone can see it.
Yes. So, yeah, definitely all you need to do is you just go to the Explore section, click on Popular, you can see the most popular. If you click on New, you can see the newest ones. And then Random is kind of a grab bag. You never know exactly what's going to show up there.
It's kind of cool, though, because you can see stuff that you might have missed in the past.
Like, let's see here.
Like right here, we have Aunt Roxy's speech to the birthday girl, which was posted by some guy named Paul.
Yes.
I don't believe I've ever read that. It's a poem, it looks like. I'm not a big fan of poetry.
Okay,
nothing,
well, here, let me,
nothing against it, but...
Let me go ahead and I'll do a little reading.
A dramatic reading.
This is Aunt Roxy's speech to the birthday girl. Dearest child, when it's raining and you feel a sadness on you, the sun may come out and shine as bright as you please. Even as the droplets fall and you will fill with hope, rush outside in stocking feet, squint very hard, and look past the ships in the harbor. And on days like today, you'll remember that sometimes the rainbow won't come. But no matter how long you look, the sun will go away, or it will stop raining, and you'll be left wet and cheated. And once you get used to it, you'll remember that tears never make you any drier. Now come inside and eat your oatmeal. You'll hardly miss the sugar if you stir in this package of dry, day-old raisins. I added the word dry there at the end because I mistakenly read day as dry.
I think dry is good, though. It emphasizes the bleakness of the raisins.
Yes.
I just want to say that it's never good to look into the sun.
Right.
You could burn your eyes.
It is true. And it's the sun, I'll just tell you, you don't have to because I can tell you, it's sort of a yellowish purple. That's what color the sun is if you look directly at it.
Really?
Yes.
I've not seen
the purple. Don't try it. Just take my word for it.
Okay.
Because you could go blind. Okay, now I'm eating Skittles. That's the next food.
I must comment that you are have the healthiest lunch that I've ever seen.
Yeah, my lunch is so far... I should point out that I ate some chicken on the way into work.
And I'm really no one to talk because I'm drinking coffee and it's nearly, it's just afternoon right now.
I had this thing that I like to call the potato log cabin griller. We'll put a picture of it up. It's basically french fries that in the microwave
hardened into a cube-like shape.
It was pretty impressive. I mean, it's an architectural structure in itself.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. So thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Groupie Guide Lunch.
There's something going on with the building. I don't know. People are talking stuff. I don't think it's anything to do with us. And I don't think I was close enough to the microphone for you to hear me.
Anyway.
So if you hear any of the voices in the background, that's what's going on. Now, Chris and I have something called the Groupie Crash Helmet.
Yes, it's very, very much needed on occasion.
Which basically is meant to protect one's head from getting hit with things. There's no face mask. There is a face mask, but it's not on it.
Yeah, I removed it because I thought it might be an impediment.
Yes.
Because it's very scratched and you can't see out of it.
It could be. You know, it's a safety issue, of course, but if one is getting hit in the head from behind, it probably doesn't matter. At this moment, I have got the Groupie Crash Helmet on. And so far, my vision is not obstructed because the visor is not on.
Right.
It feels pretty good. Pretty safe. We're eventually going to do some video with the Groupie Crash Helmet, but at the moment, our video editing capabilities are somewhat limited, so we thought that maybe... And when I say we thought, I thought. I haven't discussed this with Chris at all.
This is all new to me. But that's okay.
The idea is that we just want to test the protective abilities of the Groupie Crash Helmet. Chris, now I see that you have a box of Kleenex on your desk.
I do. Right next to the stapler.
I want to hang off on the stapler for right now, but let's try first just throwing a tissue.
Okay.
One singular.
Before we test, I must find out how is the fit of the Groupie Cat Crash
Helmet. It's a little big.
It's loose, so it's got
a little loose. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little wiggle room there. Okay, I just that should be good. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't.
So, and also with the faceplate on, I can eat Skittles.
Yes.
While I'm wearing the helmet, which is good.
Although you kind of remind me of the monkeys at the zoo.
And I'm
talking about monkeys again, but that's okay. Okay, so here we're going to go with test number one.
Test number one, just a regular tissue.
Wadded up Kleenex brand. Oh, excuse me. Wadded up Kirkland signature brand facial tissue.
Okay, here we go.
At the side of the helmet.
Yes. And I heard a little bit of a. But that's pretty much it.
No, yeah.
Let's try now the box of tissues.
Okay.
Again, side of the head.
Okay.
Okay,
test with the box of tissues.
Okay, yeah, again, I heard a little bit of a bang, but nothing.
Yeah.
I see that you have a Super Bowl.
We have the Super Bowl.
Let's try the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Keep in mind, this is not a regular ball.
This is a jumbo-sized Super Bowl, in fact.
Yes.
It's about an inch and a half across.
And it's got something inside of it, sort of like those insects in amber, but it's a circular, spherical...
Previously, I believe it lit up each time it bounced,
but
that function has since stopped working.
Okay, so we are ready for the... Oh,
okay.
Founder CEO Ted O'Neill just came by witnessing the wonderment and glory that is the Groupie Crash Helmet.
He's laughing at him, in other words.
Laughing at me specifically.
Here goes the Super Bowl.
Okay, Super Bowl, here we go.
See, I'm afraid to use the Super Bowl, actually, because it's going to bounce off the Crash Helmet. That's a given.
Oh,
it's a Super Bowl.
You are wearing glasses, but not actual eye protection.
Right, and I'm facing, so
I
might be in danger.
So what about...
No, we're still going to do this, but we're going to do this from an angle.
Yeah, what about you actually...
Just stay where
you're
at.
You stand over there, you throw it at the back of my head.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, okay, ready.
One, two, three.
Okay, I heard that. I definitely heard it. It was, it still didn't hurt. For the first time, though, I wasn't comfortable. It was sort of annoying. It was like a, ugh. But I'm still fine. I mean, damage done. But yeah, for just a brief second, I was,
So you were protected but disturbed.
Yes, protected but not even disturbed, just a little, like, annoyed. Okay, let's try this highlighter.
The yellow highlighter?
Yellow highlighter.
Okay. One, two, three.
Okay, no problem there either.
Okay, now that actually came apart. The cap came off of the highlighter.
Oh, and we're going to have to get a shot of those, too.
And,
Paul, I actually have some highlight on my hand. If this had been something that was on fire...
Or a knife,
I would be wounded at this point.
Yes. So there has been collateral damage.
Yes. Because a helmet can protect your head, but it will not protect you on the hand, as most people know. Just getting a good shot here with my cell phone. Okay, that one's pretty good, but you can't really tell that what it is. All it looks like is the yellow spots on which I'm going to take it again. I'm going to get some of my fingers in there. Oh, there's a picture of me wearing the helmet, too. That would be good. So there's the helmet, there's that, and... capture. A little shaky. Gonna go once more. Alright. And here we go. Chris is looking at... Is that your email, Chris?
Yeah, I was checking email while you were photographing your hand.
Yes. Okay, that's good. Alright. In fact, yeah, I'm pretty impressed. It's got the little groupie logo in there and everything. Take a look.
Nice. Good shot. Good shot.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, we played the first blood, and now we But this is going to be great. If you have ideas of things that you would like Chris to throw at me while wearing his helmet, you can go ahead and comment as a reply, or comment, rather, to this podcast. Keep in mind that we don't have a lot of stuff here that you can throw at me in this office.
We have stuff at home, though.
Yeah. If you want to mail us something that Chris can throw, do we want to do that? Do we want
to... sure.
Yeah, okay.
You can find the address on our website, on groupie.com, about.groupie.com. It has the contact address there.
Yes. And just, you know, send it to us. Make it attention, Paul and Chris. Not just Paul, because there's another Paul that works here. So Paul and Chris will get to us.
Or attention groupie guides, that works too.
Yeah, that would work also. And if, for instance, you would like Chris and I to throw, you know, cookies at one another, or, I don't know, monogram t-shirts that say Paul and Chris... if you would like Chris to throw a PSP at my head, you can send one of those.
We might
Nintendo
have
to... DS,
yeah.
Xbox 360, any of those things.
Money.
If
we want to throw.
Oh
money.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we can handle that. So I was just looking through my email here, and you got a reply from yesterday's lunch, where Mary said that she.
Oh, she wants a picture of Betty's shoes.
Yes, that's...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I haven't taken any pictures of her shoes yet. I need to do that.
Whoops, I hit refresh and it kind of went away. But anyway, she said she said they make all that? In other words, in response to all the different things that Kettle makes.
Yeah, we posted all of Kettle's products.
Right.
As a reply to the first one.
I have a little... I met the guy who started the Kettle Chip Company.
Really?
Yes. Back when I was in high school, I attended this this thing at Western Oregon State University called Oregon Business Week. And it's like a summer camp type of thing where kids go and they pretend like they're a business and they compete against each other and whatever. But we also got to meet with a bunch of business owners from Oregon.
Wow.
And we got to take different trips and stuff. We went to this a company called Tektronik, I think it was. They make, at the time, they made high-end printers. But also, the guy who started Kettle Brand Chips came and visited us and, you know, gave us a demonstration of, or gave us a talk about their company and what they stand for and everything. And I was really impressed because they have a very down-to-earth outlook on things. They're not just there to make money. I mean, they will make money. Obviously, they're still around.
Oh, yeah,
this is
great.
10 or 15 years later. But yeah, and it was a really good thing. And we got to try some chips.
Wow.
But their offering was much... They didn't have nearly as many products at
that
time.
Well, I think that's part of it, is that after a while, you make some money, you can
do things.
And I would say that it is funny that they don't have popcorn. That was what sparked this, is that Mary...
Right, because it looks like they have everything else. They have, you know, cashews. And popcorn might also not fall within their offerings because, popcorn is kind of healthy.
I really think that she was thinking of kettle corn.
That was my impression, too. So, kettle corn is, as opposed to a brand, it's a style of popcorn.
Yes, and that's, I think, if someone says, I'm going to go get some kettle corn, you might think kettle brands, but no.
Right.
Kettle corn.
Right.
Kettle corn's pretty good, actually. It's sort of like caramel corn, but not real.
Yes.
Sweet and salty. So taking a look for Tektronix, and the word Oregon and the word printers. You weren't thinking of Technotronic, were you? I think they sing Pump Up the Jam.
I don't think they were even around at that time.
I know why.
Because this was a good 15
place to
years
stay,
ago.
Get your booty on the floor tonight. Now we have to pay them a royalty, I'm sure.
Yes.
Which is fine.
It was Tektronix.
With an IX?
Tektronix.
Nice.
Yes.
Which, you know, either an electronics company or
a technology company, yes. But they've definitely diversified. They make all kinds of protocol analyzers and wireless field tests for network diagnostic.
That's kind of amazing.
Yes.
I have met Ted Drews's son, whose name is also Ted, I believe.
Who is Ted Drews?
Ted Drews Frozen Custard in St. Louis, Missouri. One of the tastiest frozen custards I've ever had.
Really?
If you have a frozen custard that you think is tastier, please feel free to send it to the office. I will try it and let you know.
Packed in freezing stuff.
Yeah, dry ice. Packed in dry ice, that would be better. Although, I will drink lukewarm frozen custard on a bet.
I wouldn't be saying that. I would not be saying that. Because...
Someone's going to send it, and then...
I could bet you. I have the ability to make frozen yogurt or frozen custard.
You do?
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
I have the ability to make frozen custard lukewarm.
Oh, yes. That's not a superpower. That's just a
knowledge
basic physics and the way things...
Actually, it's a matter of leaving the container on the counter for a couple hours.
A couple hours? I'm not sure.
I didn't say it would be safe for consumption.
That's the thing. Here's what I'm wondering. If it's lukewarm, it's still kind of cool, if I'm remembering that correctly. So, a couple hours, it might still be good. It might still be, although it's a little dangerous, I don't think I want to try it. I think
the official definition from Random House.
Oh, yes.
Which they're not, you know, the last word.
They are
in
the business of words. Though.
Yes, yes. So they have an idea of what they're talking about. But lukewarm means moderately warm, tepid even, if you will.
Okay, so more on the warm side than on the
right.
cool side.
But see, the thing is, this is, as they say here, it's another one of those words that's either rather simple or somewhat complicated to explain. In other words, it depends on your point of view.
Right.
So you might say it's still a little bit cool. But me, I would, you know, say it's room temperature.
Right, okay. So, yeah, you don't know how long that frozen custard's been out at all.
Right. But the thing about the word lukewarm...
Yes.
...that I've always wondered is where the heck did this Luke part come from?
Yeah, I think that if you've watched the Star Wars trilogy...
Mm-hmm.
...and seen Mark Hamill's acting, one might say... Now, come on.
I would definitely call that tepid, I suppose.
No, actually, you know, he was rather emotional sometimes. Like, if you...
Kind of like a four-year-old.
Right, exactly. If you imagine his intensity or his whininess on the going to Toshington station to pick up some power converters, for instance, substitute frozen custard for that, and you've got a four-year-old right there.
Yeah, okay.
I should point out the whole Luke Skywalker controversy, George Lucas and Two Live Crew. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes, there was kind of a rivalry for the name there for a bit.
And I think that, if I remember correctly, and someone can do research on this and get back if they want to, I believe that what happened was that the guy from Two Live Crew was saying that it was okay for him to use the name because that's what they called him when he was playing basketball. They said, "You're a regular Luke Skywalker." Which I think is interesting because they were calling him that because of his prowess and everything, but the name originated still with George Lucas and Star Wars. So...
Right, but at the same time, in my opinion, they weren't actually calling him Luke Skywalker. They were comparing him to it, which would be totally different, and he has no claim on the name.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he had claim on the name. It'd be like if I started calling you, let's see,
if you started telling me that I was, I'm not going to say that.
If I started calling you Special Agent Cooper, and David Lynch said, "Hey, don't do that," and I would say, "Well, Chris is like a special agent. He investigates stuff, and I call him Special Agent Cooper." It doesn't matter. He still came up with the name.
Right.
For all the Two Live Crew fans listening to this, we don't have anything against Two Live Crew.
No, we just like to argue about silly stuff.
In general. But yeah, we sometimes get into it. And this time, I think we weren't really arguing this time.
Oh, no.
We're close to arguing. There was a little bit of tension. It could have started. Neither of us decided to throw down over it.
It doesn't matter that much, really.
It's a good, good plan. So, let's see here. I want these.
These are kind of funky. Fitz1000 has posted some pictures of these cups, little paper cups like you'd get at a birthday party or something. And on the side of them has a nose printed with a mustache.
Oh, nice.
So when you drink out of the cup, it looks like you got a big old schnoz with a mustache underneath it. Even if you're a young blonde woman.
I have to say that young blonde woman can rock that mustache. That actually works.
There's kind of a...
I think that maybe stick-on mustaches, that's going to be a new trend eventually for people.
I don't think it ever went out of style.
Especially, like, man, I don't know, if I were a 13-year-old kid and could grow a mustache like that, I would be in business. So if you are working at a liquor store...
What kind of business are you going to start at 13 because you can grow a mustache?
Buying alcohol for other 13-year-olds.
You could take it on the road with a circus.
I wonder if you could get arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a minor if you yourself are a minor. I think you probably could.
Yeah. I would think so. I would hope so.
Also, I don't advocate, if you are a 13-year-old, you can grow a mustache. Buying alcohol for anyone. At all.
No.
I'm trying to think of a situation where it would be...
rubbing alcohol if you have a cut?
Right.
Maybe.
Right, maybe you have a cut or you're a masseuse. If you're a 13-year-old masseuse, though, again, you probably shouldn't do it.
Why would a masseuse need an alcohol?
13-year-olds should never leave the house, is what I'm saying. To clean their hands after giving a massage.
Okay.
You know, you've got all that oil on there and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Baby wipes.
I would use that lava soap. I love lava soap. It's got pumice.
So you can get that pumice stuff in your hands, and then the next massage you give, you can have like little traces of pumice in with the oil.
Actually, I think that's a special type of massage.
So it's an
you can charge more for.
No. I'm not even going there. I'm talking about like an exfoliating thing.
Yes. It's the lava massage, which before.
So this confuses me. Have you heard of the rock massages?
Rock massage. Yeah. Basically, they play some Sabbath.
No, that's the heavy metal massage.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No,
where they use mercury, and you got to watch out because it can actually soak into your... I would stay away from it.
Yes.
So, hey, PDX. Zoo.
Oh,
that's what you were talking about, right?
Well, that's just a silly picture that I posted. I took this picture with my cell phone camera because I didn't know what the heck it is.
Oh, we're talking it's at chris.groovy.com.
Right. When I was a zoo, right as you enter the zoo, did I say when I was a zoo or did I?
Let's just pretend that you were a zoo.
I wasn't a zoo. I was at the zoo.
You were at the zoo.
Right after the entrance of the zoo is this big brown box. It kind of looks like those utility boxes, those metal things that have the utility electrical connection things in them.
Yes.
But this one on the side of it says Cascade Crest Snottle Test Site. That's Snottle, Snotel. And I had no idea. I did not know what this is.
It's like a hotel made out of snow, kind of like an igloo hotel.
I'm not sure what it is.
It's actually pronounced Snowtel.
I think Snottle is better. It probably is.
It's better, but I wouldn't want to stay there today.
And actually, it is Snowtel, because further investigation and some help from James is that these devices are used to measure the amount of snow that...
Really?
...that it gets. And apparently there's this whole program in the Northwest where they have these sites, these Snottle sites, or Snowtel sites...
Weird.
...that measure the snowpack. But but even with this explanation, it's odd because the zoo is in Portland, which is right next to the Columbia River, which runs directly into the Pacific Ocean, which means it's at sea level. There isn't much snow that falls in Portland.
Aha!
So the need for a snottle?
Maybe it's a control.
The entire program is controlled by the zoo.
Yeah.
But James countered with the idea that perhaps they're measuring the actual runoff, the water.
Oh.
But it's in the middle of the city, and I think it's just for
show.
Wait,
and it's a box, right?
It's a big box.
How would you get any sort of runoff into a box?
Maybe it's got little civvy, spongy, filtery devices at the bottom.
Yeah, maybe. But I think
it's a big...
The Snowtel people seem to be, like, cornering the, hey, let's get a big box and catch some snow in it market. Maybe we're wrong. If we're wrong, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
As always, we don't do any checking on any of this stuff.
No.
I think
it's just a bunch of hullabaloo to make the them look more important. Because not only are they a zoo,
yes,
they're a snottle site.
Yes.
And even though it probably is Snowtel, I want to say snottle.
You know, this is actually kind of funny because did you have the Scholastic Reader magazine subscription things when you were a kid?
We did.
There was a magazine, and I'm wondering if it's still around. It looks like it is, or at least you can get... Okay, so it's Snowville Magazine. And you can get the 1979 copy of it on eBay right now, apparently.
Nice.
But it was called Snowtrack. But it was spelled S-N-O-T-R-A-C-K. And so many disappointed young grade school children got their first episode... Or first, sorry, issue of Snot Rack... Only to find that it was all about snowmobiles.
That would be disappointing.
Yes.
No, we didn't have that particular magazine available
to us.
Because
it's all the word, Snot Rack. You can't have it. But there you go.
Yes. The mind of a 12-year-old.
Yes. Lego Truck by Mary B. Just recently posted.
Fresh off the rack.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
I used to have a ton of Legos when I was a kid.
Man, that's actually pretty awesome. I always thought, and I'm sure that everyone has thought this already, this is nothing new. It would be nice if you had Lego-sized actual building materials. You
put one on top of the other one, you have a sledgehammer, you pound it down on each of the six things. I'm really hoping to get a train car to put in my backyard, but I'm having a hard time finding one that's within my price range.
Made out of Legos?
No, just a regular train car. I'm sorry, I jumped subjects there. I was thinking about pounding things with a sledgehammer, and then I was like, you know, if I had a train car in my backyard, and the neighbor's dog started barking a lot, I'd just go out there with my sledgehammer and wail on the train car for a while. And if somebody said, why are you doing that? I would say, why are your dogs barking like that? Hmm. And then I'd be like, what? What? Rip my shirt off, throw my boxing gloves on the ground, and, like, just get ready for some sort of battling.
Because you always wear boxing gloves.
I do, when I'm home.
When slamming a train car with a sledgehammer.
You have to. It makes it hard to hold the sledgehammer, but it protects your hands pretty well.
It also increases the danger possibilities.
The danger possibilities, at least when I'm involved, are always increased. Might I add, exponentially.
Nice.
You're listening to the Groupie Guide Lunch with your hosts, Paul Goody and Chris Harris, on guide.groupie.com. That's guide.groupie.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper now.
I still have my coffee.
Did you just have coffee for lunch today?
Well, I usually don't eat lunch until about noon, or about 1. So this is my pre-lunch lunch.
Gotcha.
So coffee lasts me until about 1.
Well, good deal. Thanks a lot for listening.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully
it was fun.
We learned some things. And we'll see you next time on the Groupie Guide Lunch.
Adios.